Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Thinking about this morning, where is God? Where is God? Matthew 22. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they what? Would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. What? Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. Wow, can you imagine? Can you imagine preparing a wedding for your son or your daughter, and inviting people, and no one would come? He said, I've got all this food here. Come, it's ready. And they all make light of it. And they misuse the people you send to give them the invitation. Wow, talk about rude. Well, number one we're looking at today, the involvement from heaven. The involvement from heaven, verses 1 through 14. You know, some people accuse God of not even existing. They don't believe God exists. Well, the Bible has a word for them. Hold your place here, if you would. Let's turn to Psalm 14. Psalm chapter 14. Well, I have news for them. God does exist, and they're without excuse, and one day they'll see it. You know, they say hindsight is better than foresight. In other words, as you look back in life, many times you can see, well, why did I make that decision? Or why did I say this? Why did I do this? Why did I buy this? And so we're looking back, we're thinking, oh, I wish I just would have thought more or done more research or whatever. But you know, the Bible is our foresight. There's prophecy in the Bible. There's many things in the Bible that have not yet come to pass. Mrs. Verberg was at our house yesterday, and she was humming about the Lord's coming. I was just hoping it would happen last night. The Lord would return. But he is coming again. That's a prophecy. But Psalm 14, verse 1, says the who? The fool has said in his heart what? There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So it's the fool that says in his heart there is no God. Now, why does God call people like that fools? I mean, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? The Bible warns us not to lightly call someone a fool, because we could be in danger of hellfire. But why does God call these people fools? Because when they say he doesn't exist, when they say there is no God, they are in danger of hellfire, aren't they? That's exactly where they're going. Notice in Romans chapter 1, Romans 1, actually those people are without excuse. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. We see the Bible clearly says those people that do not believe that God exists, they're without excuse. Romans 1:19. Because that which may be known of God is what? Manifest in them. The word manifest means to make known. If you can remember that word with the sun coming up. The sun manifests itself. The sun shows forth. So It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the what? The invisible things of Him from what? The creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. How many of you would like a new iPhone? Is it 11? Are the 11s out? Okay. How many of you would like a new iPhone 11? Okay, a few of you. How many of you don't care? Okay. All right. The iPhone is probably the highest rated phone. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Maybe this is like getting into between Chevy and Ford and between John Deere and Farmall. I don't know. It's your preferences. But how many of you think that out of your backyard, an iPhone or any other phone could slowly evolve? I mean, how many of you every day go out and look out your back window in the backyard and are just hoping to see the top of a smartphone rising, gradually being evolved? No. You know that's never going to happen. Well, that's why people are without excuse. If something as simple as an iPhone, how many of you know of a phone that never has to be charged? Okay. You know of any phone that would last 100 years without a charge? Do you know of any phone that would last 1 year without a charge? Do you know of any phone that would last 1 month without a charge? Maybe a day without a charge, depending on how much you use it. Okay. When is the last time that you hooked up your body to a charging machine? No one? No one? So, in other words, our bodies are more complex than a smartphone, right? Because our bodies can go. Brother Matichera wrote this week and told me that one of the ladies in one of the nursing homes they go to is 102. So she's gone, unless she has a pacemaker, maybe that helps keep things going. But our bodies don't need a charge once a day, once a month. And I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about something that keeps the electrical system in our bodies going. It can go 100 years plus, can it? So what I'm just trying to get the point across is that man is without excuse for thinking that the human body can evolve. And yet at the same time, knowing full well, you could wait 1 million years, you could wait 1 billion years, and a smartphone is not going to come up out of the ground all formed. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If how many of you have Samsung phones? How many of you have iPhones? How many of you have, you don't know what it is? Okay. It's just a phone. All right. So how many of you think that if you set your phone close to an iPhone, that it will become an iPhone? How many of you believe if you have a dumb phone and you set it next to a Samsung, that it will become a Samsung? It's not going to happen, is it? There's going to be no evolving. Okay. So that's why Romans chapter 1 here says that man, verse 20 says, so that they are without excuse. Man is without excuse for not believing that God exists. Without excuse, because you know these technological things are never going to evolve. But those technological things are not close to as complex as our bodies. How many of you have a water-cooled phone? How many of you have lost a phone by it being water-cooled? Yeah. Yeah, they won't take being submerged in water. Okay. But our bodies not only have electrical system, but they have a cooling system to them. pretty complex stuff, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Pretty complex. So, man is without excuse. No matter how many excuses they give, man is without excuse for not believing that we are created beings. They're without excuse. And yet they say, oh, there's no God. God doesn't exist. They're without excuse. Notice in Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19. It comes right down to it. You know, man thinks he's pretty smart, doesn't he? But man's pretty foolish when he does not acknowledge that there is a God who created us. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare what? The glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare the glory of God. When you just think, you look up into the sky and those stars are just endless. What gives the sky that depth? I mean, why can't you just draw on a piece of paper a bunch of stars? And why doesn't it look real? Because why can't you just paint? Well, and maybe you can paint a picture that actually looks real of stars. But why can't most of us paint a sky picture of the night stars? And why does it not look real? Any ideas? The Bible says one star differeth from another in what? Glory. When you look at the night sky, if we just would paint a picture, I'll just say me. Maybe you're a good artist. But if I painted a night picture of the sky, I would just paint all these things that look like stars. One of the great problems with my picture would be all the stars would be the same brightness. You look into the night sky and there's some that your eye can't hardly see. It's just a dim little pinprick of light. Others are larger and bright. That is another aspect where man is without excuse for not believing in God. Just the depth, the different glory of the stars, their distance away, how bright, how large the stars are. There are some stars that are many, 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 many times larger than our sun. But they're so far away, they look that dim. It's to not believe in God, to see that and not believe in God, just shows their own ignorance. So they're without excuse. Look at chapter 8, Psalm 8, and verse 3. You know, man can give all of his lofty excuses for not believing in God. They're not going to hold up. Man's without excuse. In Psalm 8, verse 3, when I consider what? Thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the what? Moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? When you think of how the eternal expanse of the heavenly sky at night, and then you think of man, it's like, well, as the Bible says, you know, we're like grasshoppers, we're tiny. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane? Okay. How many of you have ever seen cars down below as the plane comes in? They look so tiny. Even cars on the freeway look like they're barely moving, don't they? Well, those cars are going 70 miles an hour, or 80, or more, out there. And yet they look like they're just, what, crawling along. And you think of the perspective, okay, now not only in the sky up a little bit, but think of way out in outer space or all the way from heaven. What is man that thou art mindful of him? We are just tiny little creatures in a vast, vast universe. So, yes, God does exist. And man is without excuse. They can say all they want, but they're without excuse for not believing in Him. So God does exist, and number two, God is involved in His creation. Now, some people make the mistake of thinking, well, yes, God created the heaven and the earth, but then He just allowed evolution. Then just God withdrew from it all and just allowed it to evolve. Well, that's foolish as well. Just utter foolishness. God is involved in this world, and He created it, and He's involved in what is going on. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Don't be deceived by things that are called science that really are not. Do you know what the word science means? It means knowledge. It means to know. Well, evolution is not science, first of all. It's not science. It's a theory. And it's really a bad theory. And really it's against true science. But 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. 1 Timothy 6:20. Says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of what? Science, falsely so called. In other words, it's not true science. To beware of these things, vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Verse 21, which some what? Professing. What does that mean? Christians. Which some professing have erred concerning what? The faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Why is it? Why have they erred concerning the faith? What is the faith? What does salvation have to do with if God actually created Adam and Eve? Well, because He said He did. And if He really did not, He's a what? A liar. If God is a liar, then He's also then what? A sinner. If God is a liar, thus a sinner, then He can't be what? A Savior. So, yes, it's important. So, verse 21, they've erred concerning the faith. If someone rejects creationism, if they reject that God created the heaven and the earth, if they reject that God created Adam and Eve, then they're erring concerning the faith. Because if God is a liar, then there's no Savior. There's no Savior involved. Also, God created this world and He is involved in this world. He didn't just create the material and then leave. Look at Acts 14. Acts 14. And verse 17. Acts 14, 17. God controls the weather. Acts 14, 17. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without what? Witness. Okay. God left a witness. A witness of what? That He exists and that He's still involved with His creation. Okay. What is it? In that He did what? Good. It gives an example. And gave us what? Rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. The Bible says that this is a witness that God exists and that He's involved in His creation, that He causes it to rain. He gives us good things from heaven and causes it to rain upon the earth. This is a witness that He exists. But for every good thing that God does, Satan always tries to make a counterfeit. Take the example of Christmas. What does Christmas celebrate? Jesus' birth, the birth of Christ. Okay, but what does the world celebrate at Christmas? When is the last time you've read in some notice that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be at Walmart and you could bring your little children there to sit on His lap and get a picture? Have you ever seen that? No? How many of you ever heard of there's going to be a Jesus Christmas parade? How many of you ever heard of a Santa Christmas parade? There's lots of them all over everywhere. No, in stores it's a Santa Claus. Come take your, bring your little children and have a picture taken with Santa. I'm at the post office each year. They put out a medal mailbox on a stand. Have any of you ever gone in there and seen on that stand, it says, write letters to Jesus. Mail to heaven. Has anyone ever seen that? No, but what you will find in there is a mailbox where you can send letters to who? Santa. It goes to the North Pole. You see, Satan has a counterfeit for everything. Everything about God. Notice in John chapter 1, verse 1. Satan comes up with a counterfeit for everything about God to take people's minds off from God and His goodness. In John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was what? The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. You look at verse 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, the Word is God. The Word was made flesh. That's Jesus Christ. And what should we do with Him? Well, verse 11, John 1:11. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as what? Received Him, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on His name. So, Christmas should be all about Christ. But for the most part in the world, it's all about Santa. By the way, I'm Santa. All you have to do is move the N, and it becomes Satan. Well, we see all about that, don't we? So, Satan is counterfeit for Christ at Christmas is Santa. Easter. Easter celebrates what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, but what does the world celebrate? Well, let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Easter celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Matthew 28 and verse 5. Matthew 28:5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is what? Not here, for He is what? Risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So, is that what's celebrated in the stores? Now, maybe you've seen this. I never have. Have any of you ever seen at Easter time a chocolate cross? Okay, some of you have. Okay, many of you have. All right. Well, that's good. Seems like I'm in the store a lot. I guess I'm just not at the right place. the only thing I've usually seen is chocolate Easter bunnies, but that's good. Someone's thinking about at least the cross and the tomb. But Easter is not about the Easter bunny. There is no such thing. Easter is not about Easter eggs. Some churches have Easter egg hunts on Easter time. Do bunnies lay eggs? No, bunnies have live births. They don't lay eggs like chickens do. The world, their main thing is the Easter bunny and Easter eggs. That has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even so, weather is probably the most talked about subject of any given day, other than maybe when an impeachment is going on. But other than that, weather will be number one. And what counterfeit does Satan give for it? Mother Nature. Whoa, Mother Nature sure dealt us a blow. Well, there is no such thing as Mother Nature. Who is in charge of the weather? Look at Job 38. It's God. But you know what? God uses the weather many times to try to get man's attention. So you know what? Satan does not want man to think about God is in control of the weather. Because if God is in control of the weather and it's some serious weather, it would make man think about getting serious and right with God. The ice storm that we had, the stores in town, the hardware store sold out of generators, gas cans, people thinking ahead. It's too bad they didn't think further ahead, though, isn't it? Like to eternity. Why is God doing this? Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of what? A whirlwind, and said, and then he goes on here, but let's drop down to verse 25. Job 38, 25. Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters? Or a way for what? The lightning of thunder. Who does provide that way? Verse 26, to cause it to what? To rain on the earth where no man is. On the wilderness wherein there is no man. In other words, no man is in charge of it because it's places where man isn't even there. And it rains. Verse 27, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Hath the rain what? A father? Now it's interesting that man says Mother Nature. The Bible asks the question, hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? When you get up in the morning, there's frost on your car. Where did that come from? Who is in charge of it? It's God. God is in charge of the weather. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. What we're trying to show is that God not only exists, but He also is involved. He is still involved in His creation. He did not create it and then just go off somewhere else on vacation or go off to some other universe and, you know, spend time there. Jeremiah 5 and verse 23. Jeremiah 5, 23. But this people hath a what? Revolting and what? Rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now what? Fear the Lord our God, that what? Giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. Now in Israel, they usually have the former rains and the latter rains. They have rainy seasons. In America, we get kind of rain throughout our seasons. It might be a little drier like in July and August. But it says, it goes on, it says, He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So he's talking about rain. Verse 24, the Lord our God that giveth rain. Then he says in verse 25, your what? Your iniquities have what? Turned away these things. What things? He's talking about the rain. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have what? Withholden good things from you. Now we just read that God giveth us good things from heaven, the rain and so on. And now he's saying, verse 24, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain. Well, when people give the weather, they give all the credit to Mother Nature, whether they give the credit or the blame. The point is that Satan is trying to get God out of their minds. There's no thought of God. If they thought God is the creator and he's still involved in his creation, that he still controls the weather, they would be more prone to get right with him when there's scary weather that abounds. But instead, they just think, oh, no, it's just old Mother Nature giving us a bad thing. How many of you have ever read a product label that says this? This product is known by the state of California to cause cancer. How many of you have ever seen that label? Okay, it's on all kinds of things, all kinds of things. This product is known by the state of California to cause cancer. Well, that is highly doubtful and disputable in many cases, whether that is true. But there is definitely something that the state of California does not know. They think they know the cause of cancer. It's in all these products. I'm not saying that all the products are necessarily good, but they think they know what causes cancer. But one thing I know they do not know is what causes drought, because they face it continually. But the Bible tells us what does cause drought. 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 13. 2 Chronicles 7:13. Now we often read verse 14, but we do not often read verse 13 with it. 2 Chronicles 7:13, if I what? Shut up heaven that there be what? No rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. Well, we can apply this verse in many ways, and we do. Our land needs healing. But specifically, the primary interpretation about healing the land is goes back to verse 13. No rain, locusts devouring the crops, and pestilence among the people, sickness, disease. China is terribly persecuting Christians. This week I read they just sentenced a pastor to 9 years in prison in China. China now has this sickness over there. Now everyone traveling to China and coming back to America, they're trying to screen them, and some of them are bringing back this disease with them. And they're having to be quarantined, taken care of. This is what it's talking about, verse 14, specifically. When a country is experiencing no rain, or a place, no rain, a locust devouring the crops, or pestilence, sickness, that's the time when people ought to be, verse 14, humbling themselves before God, praying, seeking His face, and turning from their wicked ways. But California has not learned the lesson about the cause of drought, because that we do not see verse 14 taking place in the officials of the state of California. No, I just read that this week, I don't know, is it the state of Iowa? It's one of the states a little out west of us. The state of California, the legislative body, the governing body, put forth a ban on people from California traveling to whatever state it was. I'm just going to say it's Iowa, with state money, because if it was Iowa, they had some legislation against abortion or against the LGBT, and the letters get longer and longer, but it's the sodomite, it's the transgender group. And so the governor or whoever of California says no state money will be used to send anyone to that state. And it's not just that state, it's other states as well. And so this state, if it's Iowa, the governor turned right around and said, okay, no one in this state will be allowed to use state money to travel to California for anything. No state business will be done there. No, none of it. Notice with me in Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. What does God say about land? We just read in 2 Chronicles 7:14 about no rain, about locusts, about drought, pestilence, sickness, disease. Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? Abomination. So that's sodomy. Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast. to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. That's bestiality. Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in what? All these the nations are defiled, which I what? Cast out before you. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the Canaanites were involved in sodomy and bestiality, and that's one of the reasons that God cast them out and brought in Israel. You know, you listen to the news media and they talk about, you know, Israel is, you know, so mean, driving out the Palestinians. What was the real issue here? God owns the land. Leviticus 25:23. God owns the land. These people were committing abominations, and so God drove them out and gave the land to Israel. Verse 25. And the land is what? Defiled. Therefore I do visit. Who? God. I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. And he goes down through here talking about the same thing. I have never heard. I'm sure there are many Christians in the state of California that are very unhappy with what's going on. In fact, if you look at a political map of California, the square miles, if you just look at square miles, is not liberal, it's conservative. It's those multi-million cities is where the liberal group is, in those huge cities. And they are the ones that turn California to be liberal in elections, just like in Michigan, it's Detroit. And there's other pockets, but if you look in these states, a lot of the state is conservative, but it's because there is such a mass of people in these large cities, they're the ones that turn it a different direction. And the same with California. So I'm not trying to paint all the people in California as ungodly liberals, because that's not the case. So there are many churches in California. But the problem is they are outvoiced by the ungodly doing these things. But the state of California, from the leadership on down, should be humbling themselves before God, but they think they know what causes cancer, but they definitely do not know what causes drought, because they are the ones pushing this sin. They are the ones. They will not cooperate with other states who take a stand against abortion. They will not cooperate with other states who take a stand against sodomy and transgenders and all that mess. They will not. They try to separate themselves from those states and hurt them financially. There was a state down south that, I forget which one, I don't know if it was one of them with a heartbeat bill or what, but, and, you know, they got all these Hollywood people saying, well, then we won't come there and do any more of our movies. You know what I would say? Praise the Lord. All that trash isn't going to be produced in our state. Fine. I believe the Lord will bless us for that, not curse us for that. So, God exists. God exists. And man is without excuse for not accepting that. And God is active in His creation. The problem is we've let Satan bring all these counterfeits into our world. Christmas Day, my wife and I drove through town. Meijer's parking lot, empty. All the restaurants, empty. Walmart parking lot, empty. And you know what? It's like the world stopped that day. Why? What happened? Did the stock market crash? Were we bombed? What happened that day? We were celebrating what? The birth of Jesus Christ. The very name that people blaspheme and shake their fist at. The most common swear word, using His name in vain. The world stops. And I'll tell you something. The world one day is going to stop again at that name. And every knee is going to bow in heaven and in earth to that name, Jesus Christ. So he is involved and he's pleading with people to come. Next week we'll see, Lord willing, from Matthew 22. God is active. He is involved in his creation and he's pleading with people to come to him and get right. He does not want to judge anyone. He wants to save everyone. So may we not be deterred by Satan's counterfeits. May we not be deterred by men's babbling about evolution or other foolish things. God exists. It's clear. Man will stop one day and bow to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. And as we sang earlier, Jesus loves even me. And that is an amazing song. We stop and think, how and why would you ever love us? Why would you have mercy on this world? Why would you have mercy on our nation? We are so dreadfully sinful. We have all these abominations taking place daily and promoted by states and country and peoples and cities. Lord, have mercy on us. We do humble ourselves before you today. We do confess our iniquity, our vileness, and we plead with you to heal our land, to show us a great and mighty moving of God, a great revival. May it start in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.